It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Feel a little bit better? Getting there. September 25th, 2022. Wow, we haven't done one of these in 4 weeks. To sit down with yours truly is here. Hey, Giffa! What's going on, everybody? How's your weekend going? I am Don Tony. If I still sound off, I am hopefully at the tail end of dealing with this COVID shit. Never in a million years did I think I was going to get it. Yes, for people that haven't figured it out, I got it while I was at Disney World in Florida. But it was my honeymoon. It's not the end of the world. As long as I don't get any long COVID out of this. You know, I will say this. I've done a lot of sleeping the last 5 days. I have eaten cocktail Franks, you know, those hot dogs, pigs in a blanket. I've had pizza, Chinese food. I haven't gained a pound. I mean, yes, I've been drinking gallons of Theraflu and Zicam, no viral drugs. But I will tell you that today I tested positive again, but the line... And I have all my tests. So once we're all done, I'll take a picture of them all. But I did notice yesterday to today, the line where it says you're positive is getting very, very light. So hopefully by tomorrow, the day after, this shit is out of my system. And then I forgot next week I'm supposed to go to a wedding. What are you going to do? I want to thank you all for joining me today. I hope everybody had a great week. I am here for those that are new to the sit down. On Sunday, I show up literally with a blank piece of paper and you create the topics of conversation, whether you write it in the chat room. Super chats obviously get a little bit of VIP. And if you post a question in the chat room, all I ask is that if it's a question, write in capital letters question before it so I can spot it quicker. If it's a comment that you want to share with everyone, write in capital letters the word comment before it. And if I do acknowledge it, wait a little bit before asking another. This way we could spread it around a little bit. We'll go a little while. You know, I feel good enough. I think we'll have a great show. I see a couple of super chats already came in. One of them, I want to get a picture because I see it has to do with Quincy Elliott's NXT debut. I want to get a picture and put him on the screen. And then I have a few things to say about that. We haven't talked about it yet. But before we get into that, chat room, what do you want to talk about tonight? What's on your mind? And by the way, make sure you scan that QR code that I posted earlier. You get a little advanced teaser of something that is going down on Thursday, November 3rd, 2 days before Crown Jewel. I think everybody, for the most part, will be very excited of what's going to be going down. We have about 5 weeks to build it, and I will share all the details later on this week. All right. Rojo Bear, you didn't write the word question before you question, so I can't answer it. I'm not that strict. Okay, Buddy Matthews, big topic of conversation today. A lot of people are reporting that Buddy Matthews is the latest person to be gone from AEW. My honest thoughts about it is, number one, we have no confirmation from AEW or Buddy Matthews. That's number one. If I remember correctly, didn't he sign with AEW in February? So that would be March, April, May, June, July, August, September, 7-month contract. You know, usually you get like a 1-month deal, a 3-month deal, a 6-month deal, a 9-month deal, a 12-month deal. Did he ask to be let out of his contract early? Look, anything is possible. But one thing is for certain, everybody. One thing is for certain. Tony Khan, you know, having the threat given to Nick Khan and Stephanie, telling them to knock it off, I guarantee you WWE laughed at them. The same way Triple H laughed at Mike Johnson that time, they laughed. Like, fuck off, you know? Do you think that Tony Khan would be this quick to just grant Buddy Matthews a release? Sure, it could be conditional. But, you know, did people learn the lesson with Malachi Black not even a week ago? Malachi Black asked everybody, unless it's out of my mouth, you know, don't believe everything you read. Sure, some of the things we read, I do believe it's true. But if you, out of respect to Malachi Black, you know, did anybody learn a lesson? Now Buddy Matthews might be delayed. My honest opinion is let's wait and see if it is true. Now, because you asked, I will at least say this. If it is true, if it is true, it's pretty obvious that the House of Black were not winning trios championships. It's obvious that the House of Black were not going to be winning tag team championships. It's obvious that Buddy Matthews, you know, probably expected a little bit more in AEW. And AEW is overloaded. You know, the funniest thing that I've been reading for the last couple of days, and, you know, look, I have nothing but respect to my fellow podcasters out there who take this shit seriously. I have uber respect to those who podcast that are former and current wrestlers. But you got to think a little bit of common sense sometimes when you talk about things. You know, when we talk, and this will have to do with Buddy Matthews in a second. When Chris Jericho won the Ring of Honor championship, you know, people asked my reaction. And if you remember when we did predictions last Monday, I even joked around. I said, wouldn't it be something if Jericho wins the Ring of Honor championship? And I thought that would take the sports entertainment storyline and kind of give it a little twist, because now sports entertainment invades honor. Remember, this is all under the Tony Khan banner. Stop thinking that Ring of Honor and AEW are like, you know, Raw and SmackDown as separate brands. It's all under the mindset of Tony Khan. So doing the sports entertainment storyline kind of figures better for Ring of Honor and not AEW. Especially when AEW does a lot of sports entertainment. Do I need to do anything else? Do I really need to do anything else? So doing that for Ring of Honor makes more sense. I have seen people the last 5 days talking about Tony Khan's trying to get a Ring of Honor TV deal. If you're going to say that in replacement of Rampage, okay. Totally agree. But they're trying to say ROH is going to get Tony Khan's trying to get a TV deal on top of it. Who is going to work producing all that content for television for Ring of Honor? Where are these shows going to be held? Do you realize the existing employee? Don't tell me Colt Cabana. Do you realize? I mean, you can't just have a hand. This is not our video from 1995. We have, you know, maybe Feinstein and, Doug Gentry, God rest his soul. You know, ringside doing fan cam. Does anybody stop and think, wait a minute, who the fuck's going to run this whole thing? So where am I going with that with regards to Buddy Matthews? You're not going to have this group of wrestlers that are going to be put aside to be allotted for Ring of Honor. All right. And Buddy Matthews, you know, you see that he probably expected a little bit more. Buddy Matthews, as far as I know, doesn't really twitch, doesn't really game, doesn't really have outside outlets. And, you know, the House of Black have been used like shit. But nobody's going to dare really criticize Ring of AEW, Tony Khan's creativeness. So why would Tony Khan grant Buddy Matthews an early release? Without maybe the idea you can't go back to WWE right away. I mean, is Buddy Matthews a threat if he were to go back to WWE? Do you think the IWC, look at how many people follow Buddy Matthews on social media already. It's not as many as you realize. You think suddenly he's going to have 600,000 followers? Oh my God, he jumped. He jumped. He's an awesome talent, but he doesn't have the value that people are trying to make him out to be. If he is unhappy with AEW, I'm sure some people will be let out of their contracts early, but here's my other point. You know, when we had all this buzz about meetings that AEW had, Kenny Omega with the roster, Tony Khan with the roster, and others, Jericho with the roster, did you hear any reports that Tony Khan said, look, if anybody wants out of their contract, contact me and we'll talk about it? You didn't hear anything like that. So this is just people looking at former Triple H guys and trying to insinuate that, oh, they would get... Do you see how suddenly everybody is shutting up about Swerve Strickland? You know, because they realize Swerve Strickland, hey, he's got an AEW deal. He's working his ass off. He's fulfilling what his job is. He's not complaining. He's not, and people are like, okay, let's back off of him because he ain't fucking giving any signs that he wants to go back. Miro, you know, people are like, oh, Miro is happy at what he's doing. Diddy Diba! You know, but that's because they can't get a pulse on what Miro wants and doesn't want. And then this idea that some people want to go back to WWE so they can be closer to their significant others. I mean, what the fuck does that mean? It's just ridiculous. These are people online trying to guess who are former Triple H guys that think they'll get greener pastures going back to WWE, and the rumors come out. Rumors. And there's not that many on the list. If you really think about it, there's not that many. They tried with Keith Lee, and then people are like, wait a minute. Look at Keith Lee right now, with all due respect, health-wise. People feel that he is a shell of what he was in NXT. So why would people really push this narrative that Keith Lee wants to go back to WWE? Do people really want him back in WWE and be a shell of what he was in NXT? You know, how come nobody says that maybe, you know, Keith Lee would love to go to Impact Wrestling and work with Mia Yim or vice versa? So when you really think about it, this is sausage, everyone. Just like I'm going to feed Monday on the show, sausage, that Saudi Arabia wants Sasha Banks. Saudi Arabia wants Bray Wyatt. Saudi Arabia would love to have Bill Goldberg again. Yeah, sausage. You're going to see it in the very near future that Saudi Arabia would love to have any of them appear at Crown Jewel on November 5th. It's not hard to make shit up like this. So whether it's Buddy Matthews or anybody, you know, it's not too hard to put on list. You ever notice how nobody out there is throwing out non-WWE people who aren't happy about their opportunity? They're just using former Triple H guys and assuming that everybody's unhappy. That Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole and this is not. But wait, Adam Cole, Britt Baker. Does that make any sense to any of you out there? Motherfucker can't even wrestle right now. So until, out of respect to Buddy Matthews, till I see him say something or AEW say something or something on the website or something written, I'm not going to speculate. Not going to speculate. John Vickers is asking, do I think Charlotte will go to AEW? No. Charlotte Flair is going to be back sooner than you think. Yeah, it's Charlotte Flair. Saudi Arabia would love to have Charlotte Flair. There you go. Sausage. No. And by the way, a bunch of you asked if, do I think Paige Saraya is going to wrestle? And my answer is yes. I'm not going to claim big news sources because I really don't feel well and really haven't had the time to like contact a bunch of people and say, what do you think? What did you hear? What did this? But from a little bit of conversation I've had with people, yeah, she actually, the idea is for her to return to the ring. She will be brought in very, very slowly, and you will probably see her in like a six-woman tag or something like that to start off, maybe even special guest referee here and there, but she is returning to the ring. They're going to make it clear, and hopefully Wednesday they are really concise about that. So you want to take that as news, take it as news. Sami Zayn, Rams fan, is not turning on the bloodline. No, 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 no. When we were in the watch party Friday and Roman was telling Sami Zayn, take that shirt off, Jey Uso was like, take the shirt off, take the shirt. That was a test for the audience to feel out the audience and the sympathy for Sami Zayn. The audience is going to love Sami Zayn as a babyface after the bloodline destroy him. So, no, he's not turning on the bloodline. No. I mean, the bloodline, if you want to say they treat him like shit, and Kevin Owens is trying to tell him, like, stand up, say no. That's always a possibility. Here, take the chair, Sammy. Do it. He throws the chair down and he refused to do it, and then the bloodline beats the fuck out of him? Sure. But no heel turn. No, not even a question. Oral Carter, if the ratings seem to be better without the Bucks, Omega, and Punk, Booker T thinks no one is missing them. Dude, if people want to watch AEW, to watch AEW. I doubt that there's anybody out there that if the Young Bucks are not advertising, I'm not watching. All right. And I think Impact Wrestling kind of proves that point. Fucking people are gushing, giving this impression that Juice Robinson fighting on Dynamite is a huge fucking deal. Well, Juice Robinson is also part of Impact Wrestling. Does anybody race to go see what he's doing there? Did anybody race to see what Jay White was doing there? The Briscoes were doing there? And Kushida and others? People, if they follow AEW, they get to watch AEW. The problem is, when you saw the rating go down 12% on Wednesday, that means 12% of AEW fans felt that something else was more important than watching Grand Slam live, period. Give me football. Don't give me Dr. Pill Popper. Yeah, you don't know about that one. Look it up. Don't give me Survivor. Don't give me tragedies. Don't give me hurricanes, earthquakes, school shootings. The bottom line is their fans, 12% of them, which is a big number, especially with all the hype to Grand Slam, Battle of the Belts, 12% said, yeah, I'm going to do something else. That's a big fucking deal. So, no. If the Bucks, whether their ratings are up, down, non-existent, the fans are going to still tune in. If the fans stop tuning in, it's because of the overall climate and the overall product, not because of one or two people. So, Steve Barbie, do I see Liv coming out as the heel against Ronda in his next match? No. Liv Morgan, you know, you got to understand, it's not just the character in the ring. She does a lot of goodwill for WWE outside of the ring. And don't get me wrong, Lacey Evans does, and other heels do as well. But Liv Morgan is one of those characters that is an inspiration for a lot of young girls especially. Makes no sense to do that, especially with Charlotte Flair's return on the horizon. You know, SmackDown would be the land of heels. You know, Naomi and Sasha Banks are returning. They are returning. I'm telling you, they're returning. We've already gone into it. You know, we don't have to do any little teasers and titles and clickbait. Oh, this, it's obvious they're returning. The question is, do they return as singles wrestlers or tag team wrestlers? And they have to come back as tag team wrestlers because Sasha and Naomi are still portrayed as a tag team outside of wrestling. You look at, I mean, do you realize how many other appearances that they have made over the last 2 months that nobody really talks about, not even me? You know, you ask yourself, why? Are they sisters from other misters? Are they suddenly an item? You know, why are they booked together? Are they hawk and animal? I mean, look, there were two women that were teaming that quit WWE at the same time. You think the outside non-wrestling world gives a fuck that much about it, with all due respect to Naomi? I guarantee you, 90% of those people are like, who? Trinity who? Fatu? Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. She hasn't been in The Mandalorian. She hasn't done those things. She will be a household name in the future. But why are all these outlets booking them together? It's because through an agent. Yeah, you want to book? All right, book us together. You think you got extra people tuning in because they're coming in as a team? Maybe early on because people thought they were going to get a scoop. You going back to WWE? Going back to WWE? Going back to WWE, and they're not getting the answers. So it's not hard. It's not hard to figure out. It's just not sexy. So when you tell it like that, it's like, well, it's kind of like bland. Rocky Red, bigger deal. Aaron Judge possibly breaking, I'm kind of like tweaking your words, Roger Maris's American League home run record. And potential triple crown, or Albert Pujols 700 home runs without steroids and HGH. Honestly, I would say Aaron Pujols is a bigger deal because Aaron Judge is having an insane season, and it's obviously a memorable one, but you look at the number of home runs that have gone up in baseball. And for a lot of teams, you know, it's like the Dave Kingman, you know, home run or strikeout. Strikeouts are up big time. That's why I had so much respect for the Kansas City Royals when they beat the Mets in the World Series, you know, not too long ago. Because you couldn't strike those motherfuckers out. I mean, you got a couple of strikes, but they would battle. So for me, Pujols, 700 home runs without a doubt. I wish he would not retire. I am a huge fan of Albert Pujols. Aaron Judge, memorable season, no question. But you're talking about, you know, look, I remember Brady Anderson. You know, yes, we can do sports. I am up to, remember Brady Anderson of the Baltimore Orioles? Didn't he have 49 home runs 1 year or something like that? And people were going fucking nuts for the guy. What happened after that? I'm not saying that Aaron Judge is like this compared to Brady Anderson. My point is, you know, what happens to Aaron Judge 10 years from now? Does he maintain that or does he bat 210 with 45 home runs? So overall, you're talking about a Hall of Fame career versus a Hall of Fame season. Psycho is asking, do I watch hockey? No, I used to. Still root for the Rangers, but I really don't watch hockey much at all anymore. All right, super chats. Let's get into, it's only fair, right? Let's get into these four. Big Sal, welcome back, sir. Good question for you. Name a pay-per-view concept from the past to AEW. No one does anymore. Name a pay-per-view concept from the past to AEW. Maybe you mean for AEW that no one does any. I don't know if that's what he meant. A pay-per-view concept that no one does anymore that would be good for AEW. Huh. You know which, you know one, we've talked about it recently. You know one I would love, two, I'll give you two. Two that I would love to see back that I don't understand. why either one is not done anymore. One of them you could finagle. Tony Khan has got to remember he's sports entertainment. He can, I don't want to say lie, but you can manipulate, you know, for entertainment purposes. I would love to see Battle Bowl Lethal Lottery come back. I would love to see people randomly pulled, you know, to team up or face each other, or stipulations, or what was it, Cyber Sunday, Taboo Tuesday, was that when you allowed fans to vote? Just, you know, I think the problem that WWE did back then was, and this was my idea all along, you only let people who ordered the pay-per-view vote. You only let the people who order the pay-per-view vote. But you see, WWE wanted to tout that they had millions and millions and millions of votes, tens of millions of votes. So, you know, which do you want to boast? I would do some type of interactive pay-per-view with AEW, where you let the fans vote on the stipulation or the opponent, or choose Jon Moxley's opponent, you know. But if it was up to me, I would only allow paying customers vote. This way, not only do the people feel like, wow, you know, I'm getting something, you know, exclusive by ordering this, I actually have voting powers. You know, that's a big deal. Not only that, it would be an interesting viewpoint to AEW as far as who and what their paying customers are truly looking for at a particular event. Now, you could close the voting a week before the event, you know, and I'm sure if Tony Khan told everyone that the voting is legit, that whatever it is, they really, I'm sure people would believe it. When it comes to Battle Bowl, yeah, you could finagle it. You make the bowl and you put the same name in the bowl. So no matter which paper you take, you get the person that you want to team up with, whoever. So I would love to see either one of those concepts come back. Either one of them. Yes, Knicks, thank you. If you all are enjoying this episode, take a moment, hit that like button. I'd like to see it get up to 160 right now before we continue. If I could be so kind, I would only be about 22 of you out there. Great Balls of Fire was good, but when you think of Great Balls of Fire, people don't immediately think of, well, what was the concept behind it? You know, Lethal Lottery, Battle Bowl, you know exactly what it was. Random, random, random. Taboo Tuesday, Cybers, whatever. You know it has to do with interaction. So, all right. Giuseppe's asking me, thank you for the five spot, my friend, and thank you for the 10 spot from who sent the question about the pay? Big Sal. Thank you, Big Sal. Giuseppe with the five spot. Worst part about having COVID, not having my wife here. I know that sounds like a pussy answer, but it's kind of weird, man. I was talking to somebody online earlier, and I said, you know, 3 weeks ago, I got married. 2 weeks ago, I got on my honeymoon. 1 week ago, I get COVID, and I'm here by myself. Kind of weird. But as far as health-wise, the worst part, honestly, the lack of taste. This is no joke. I'm having lemon Theraflu right now. I could taste the lemon. I can't taste anything sweet. I had earlier some spaghetti. I put tomato sauce on it. I couldn't taste it. So I put it in the refrigerator. I'm like, if I'm going to eat a nice plate of pasta, I want to taste. For all I know, I could be eating rotten shit. I have no idea. I was thinking to myself, wow, this is probably the perfect time to have some sweaty you-know-what, and you probably couldn't even tell. Just some items I can't taste. Some items I can. Like, I can taste the cough medicine, the cold mess, I could taste the cherry, I could taste lemons, but like sweet and tang, I can't taste nothing. That, let me tell you all, that's probably the worst thing more. I had applesauce before, and I took that thing and I put it in my mouth. I ended up drinking it like water because I couldn't even taste it. You know, when you eat like a dessert, you're like, And you kind of like lick it because you want it to last like 3 hours. I took a spoon and I'm like, I can't taste it. I just downed the whole thing. I figured at least internally, my body's like, yeah, sugar. If you notice, I kind of have a little bit of energy, but I couldn't enjoy it. That's probably the worst. So Dream 101 with the two spot. Thank you very much, my buddy. Will the return of Bray Wyatt overshadow Killer Cross, Karrion Cross? Yeah. Yeah. Few things are overshadowing Karrion Cross right now. But that's a good thing. Just because Karrion Cross grew hair and did a little control your narrative and worked the indies and was very friendly on social media and interactive doesn't mean that the WWE universe is suddenly going to be like, yeah, he's fucking back, yeah. No, there's a lot of repair that needs to happen with Karrion Kross. And the focus being off of Karrion Kross right now is helping Karrion Kross. So believe me, the fact that the bloodline and honorary ooze and other things going on, that is good. Karrion Kross, the idea is 5 years from now, you want him to be a main event, big time megastar. There's no rush to do it now. There's so many other things going on right now. So I say no. There's no damage whatsoever by Karrion Kross being overshadowed by anybody. That's a good thing. You know, the less focus, the more relaxed, the more you could pace, take your time. You know, Drew McIntyre is the feud right now. And, you know, that's good. I mean, look at, you know, Drew is helping give a little push for Karrion Kross. No, that's good. That's a good thing, man. That's a good thing. Lascelles Williams. I was there live for his debut, meaning me. Thoughts on Quincy Elliott and what was the vibe in the building for him? All right. I have a picture saved of Quincy Elliott. I am going to, okay, Q. All right, here it is. Actually, I got two pictures I want to share. Put this one here. Put this one here. Okay. Quincy Elliott made his NXT debut last week before Wednesday. I was there in person. My thoughts on it, honestly. And what did you also say? What was the vibe in the building for him? And thank you for the 20 spot. So I don't know if you're a fan or not. I heard what Jim Cornette said, because I saw somebody in the chat asked that a few minutes ago. I thought what Jim Cornette said about Quincy Elliott was very unfair. And I'll tell you why. Quincy Elliott was featured on Level Up. Yes, I know they don't watch Level Up. But Quincy Elliott has been in the WWE system building this for a little bit of time now. I will tell you, and I've mentioned this, might have been on Patreon the week before. I was in the parking lot at the Performance Center talking to a few people, and somebody there is good friends with Quincy Elliott. And, you know, they said that he is one of the nicest, most genuine people out there. And, you know, that doesn't mean that we have to like him as a wrestler, but I will tell you that what you see in the ring, as far as the Super Diva, reflects the real life. Okay. Does he walk around looking like Mabel from Men on a Mission? No. But here's another thing. Everybody thought it was cute, you know, when Brian Lass said that he looks like Goldust fucked Mabel. Yeah, no, that's funny. And I'm not criticizing Brian, but understand that Mabel actually is an inspiration for Quincy Elliott. because of his size, because of the skin color, and other things. And his outfit actually is a tribute to Mabel. No bullshit. That is legit. That is a tribute to Mabel. My honest thoughts about him in the ring, the match was 2 minutes. It was 2 minutes. The vibe in the building was positive for him. Somebody that's heavy like that, a little bit of reflection of his sexuality, having a little bit of feel-good, you know, moments, it's not going to please everyone. But my honest opinion is this is NXT. It is developmental. Throw shit on the wall, see if it sticks. Does anybody forget, you know, what some of the gimmicks were for some of these wrestlers? We had a gambler. Look at Andre Chase and what he's doing now. Look at some other wrestlers. You know, you test things out. You see if it works. That's what NXT is for. There is no Heartland Wrestling. There is no OVW. There is no Florida Championship Wrestling. This is where you throw shit on the wall and you see if it sticks. All right, Quincy Elliott is not going to be enjoyed by everyone. But I will tell you, I was there. The vibe in the crowd was rooting for the guy. He was rooting for the guy. And the guy had a good time, and I'm rooting for him. Is he one of my favorites? No. I mean, I don't know if the character will last, but you're watching developmental. You're watching developmental. Not everybody there, their current persona is going to be what they ended up being. So I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. His match was 2 minutes. It was 2 minutes. We don't need to spend 15 minutes analyzing a two-minute match. That's my take on it. All right. Antoine Fair, the five spot. Thank you, my friend. 700 home runs might have been seen in our lifetime. May be seen in our lifetime. Only five people have done it. Yeah, I mean, Babe Ruth did it. We didn't see it. Barry Bonds, we did it. Barry Bonds! Barry Bonds! Can't do it today. We've seen that. Who else hit 700? Wait. Oh, you're saying that maybe Hank Aaron, obviously. That's three. That's it. Who else? There's nobody else. We got Hank Aaron, Barry Bonds, and Babe Ruth. So I think, what's his face of the Angels? I think he has a shot. Mike Trout, I think he has a shot, maybe at 700 home runs at the end of the day. You had 35 home runs for 20 years. You got 700. So, but, yeah, look, there's a lot of things we may only see a few times in our lifetime. But you look at his entire career, polls. You can't compare that to one season by Aaron Judge. So, but I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Eddie K says, I turned heel on him. Thank you for the two spot. For those that don't know, that's Zylot Themes online. I know a lot of you, he pisses you off because you want to take his graphics that he takes the time to screenshot while the shows are on, and then he adds his logo all over the place. So when you repost it everywhere else, you know, you got to give credit because someone else fucking took the time to screenshot it. He sent me a gift for my wedding. I haven't been at the post office. I actually took off 2 days last week because I was sick. I have to work tomorrow. I'm going to have to wear a double mask. I don't want to freak out any of my customers, especially the neighborhood I'm in. If I give any of my neighborhood customers COVID, they're not going to just cancel and rewrite with another broker. They'll fucking show up at my office with a baseball bat. You motherfucker. You gave me COVID, you prick bastard. Get my legs broken. They'll break my nose. How's it feel now? You can't taste? Good. Now you can't breathe either. So thank you, my friend. I will open it live on the show this week. I'll open it live on the show. All right. Let's see what other questions. Mo Words, will NXT Europe be a real third brand like NXT UK? it's going to be an international element of WWE. Could you see an NXT UK person show up in NXT US or the main roster from time to time? Yeah. That's the goal for a lot of these wrestlers. But NXT UK, Europe, is going to be WWE's international market. You know, remember they wanted to do Japan, UK, maybe Mexico and others. So NXT Europe, I love the idea. I love the idea because you can expand it in different areas and it doesn't feel too regionalized. But no, it won't be a third brand that we will follow on a regular basis. This is going to be like WWE's developmental overseas. And if they can make profit overseas, because look, if you look, it's like having a McDonald's. Let's say I open up a different fast food restaurant. Let's say I call it McDipshit. Okay? I open up McDipshits. And, you know, I got like a good business going on in the United States. You know, hey, I'd love to make a little money overseas. So what am I going to do? Am I going to go just ship my food overseas with ice packs? Or maybe do I invest and maybe I can open up a couple of McDipshits in different areas of the world? And then maybe I could have people that work locally in those areas in who gives a fuck a stand. You know, maybe I get some people over there like, hey, I'm making some money from McDipshit. So it's good for WWE. But as far as us in the States, unless there's something really hot going on, we're not going to follow it as much. Benjamin, why can't Soraya use the page name? Same reason why Gunther is no longer... I almost said Luther. I mean, that's why Butch is no longer Pete Dunne. And that's why even Casey Catanzaro is now Katana Chance. It's trademark. It's trademark. And yes, you could trademark a name as far as a character in a particular entertainment. She could use it. She could change the wording, you know, but you would be too prone to lawsuits. And you know what, Soraya, understand, you know, why do you think it was such a big deal that AEW trademarked the House of Black name after Malakai Black requested his release? Did I talk about it? No, because AEW really doesn't trademark as much as they should. You know, when you have a product, you know, you want to put your footprint on it so someone, if they do branch out and become megastars, that, you know, you own that name, the Dudleys. They had to be Team 3D because of what went down with WWE, with trademarks and everything like that. No, that's just part of business. It's just part of business. And I don't think AEW is trademarking anything related to Soraya. They're not going to trademark her real name. You know, if it was her real name, they couldn't trademark it. But if it's a character name, you're playing a character. Why do you think all those lawsuits with Hulk Hogan back in the day? It's just part of business. Yeah, just like why Bryan Danielson is not Daniel Bryan. You know, if you really think about it, you know, it's like a play on his name. It's part of business. You know, anything. Look, some people thought that AEW was fucked up for trademarking the House of Black. I loved it. Not that it was fucking Malakai Black, but that's what AEW needs to do. They need to start trademarking some of their. But you see, here's the problem, everyone. The contracts are not set up that way. When Tony Khan says, oh, do I have any books? I have no books. Why would I have books? I don't read books. I read owner's manuals. When Tony Khan is like, oh, the WWE contracts are garbage. There's a reason why the WWE contracts are this thick and the AEW contracts are this thick. Because there's nothing in there as far as trademarking and licensing or anything like that. Hey, come work for me. I'll pay you $1 million. No downside. No, if you're out injured for the entire time. Not this, not that, not this. You're not an employee of the company. You got no disability, no workers' comp. You know, we don't have any rights over your name. Because Tony Khan doesn't care about all those things. I don't want to get involved with that. Tony Khan is not as professional as he should with AEW. And that's why, you know, look, I think Mikey Ruckus that makes the theme music, I would hope that he trademarks his own music. And I'm sure that he does. And I don't think some of these wrestlers will be able to take that music and just use it elsewhere. But, you know, AEW should be doing more on the trademark side. But Tony Khan doesn't want to be bothered with stuff like that. It's like having opening up a business. Permits? We need permits for. Permits? We don't need permits. We need permits for. We need a bond. Surety bond? It's a surety bond. I'll be sure that everything is done. I don't need no surety bonds. Wait, I got to get this. I got to do filings. You don't want to do any of that. All right. E-Dub Harris. Next month is the 25th anniversary celebration of DX. Some of my favorite DX moments. Obviously, them showing up at WCW was awesome at the time. That was awesome. I love Eric Bischoff after, you know, like, we should have kept the gates open. Yes, it happened earlier in the day. I would have been, what do you think, camcorders weren't around at that time? You had those Sony, what was those, Sony handycams? I still got one somewhere. The view cams, I think they were. I would have fucking been filming during the day. I would open those gates, have Ming standing at the door. Is there a problem here? I would have just embarrassed the shit out of them. Then I would add that shit on Nitro later on. But the problem is, a lot of the wrestlers, they're all friends with each other. I mean, yes, there was hardcore competition and you're going to defend your own product. But, you know, what shoulda, woulda, coulda? I mean, look, there's tons of DX moments. Too many to count. You know, every time, remember when they did the whole presidential thing? I didn't sleep with that intern. I was up all night. I mean, there was tons. I loved ravishing Rick Rude for a little while, just wearing a suit, holding briefcase. China, God rest her soul. I think it's more of what I didn't like about DX. I thought some of the stuff when they were reunited years later, it felt like two overgrown men acting like children. You know what I mean? So I wasn't as keen. You know, remember the Hornswoggle stuff? Remember when I photoshopped the giant sword, the machete, on Triple H, insinuating that he was going to commit murder on Hornswoggle? That just, I didn't like a lot of that. Still remember when Candice Michelle, remember they insinuated, wasn't it Candice Michelle was under the table doing oral sex? And that was past where it was supposed to start being kid-friendly again. All right, Matthew has a comment. He saw TR at a live show last night. She did not have the AEW Women's Championship. No sharing titles. She's being disrespected even before injury. They're treating her like an afterthought. She's injured right now. Thunder Rosa showing up at other companies right now. I don't think, you know, carrying around, I'll be honest with you, I think it's more to keep the spotlight on Toni Storm. I don't think, look, she's injured. She's injured. So it is what it is. She was disrespected before she got injured. Thunder Rosa showing up and not having the AEW Women's Championship, I think I see nothing wrong with that, because who knows how long she's going to be out of action. What happens if the issues with her back are extended? Maybe it comes to a point where she does have to fully relinquish this championship. I think this is more to keep the focus on Toni Storm. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. Do I see DX being confronted by the Bloodline? No. I see DX maybe being confronted by Alpha Academy. Shush! Could Shawn Michaels still... You know, remember, Triple H, you know, remember, you're not going to see a lot of physicality. Could you get a super kick, maybe. I think you probably have a better chance of X-Pac doing something. But no, I think they'll be interrupted by Alpha Academy. I think Chad Gable is perfect in that role. Shush! I got two words for you. Shush! That's only one word. Shush! Thank you! That's two words. Byron Cutler, do I like what WWE's doing with Judgment Day? Yeah. Yeah. How do you like those special supernatural shit that all these goofs reported? That's why Edge was kicked out of it. I look back at 2022 and the amount of fake, in all of my years of following wrestling. Now, as a kid, it's different. But when I started doing hotlines in 97, I mean, probably in 99, 2000, there was a shitload of clickbait online. But back then it was about pop-up ads. You know, you would have, even when I've always brought this up over the years, you had like the early roster split with Raw and SmackDown when Ric Flair was the GM of one and whatever. And then you had Stephanie. And I remember one time there was a website that wrote, Breaking, Booker T at Raw this Monday night. And, you know, it says, click here. And I clicked on it like an idiot, like a ton of other people. And you get pop up, boop, 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 boop. And then I click on it to see, holy shit, Booker T's going to be on Raw. And then I clicked on it. You know what it said? No, he's a SmackDown wrestler. Like, you cocksucker. But, man, the amount of fake news this year has been horrible. That's why I have no problem with CM Punk did. And believe me when I tell you, there's a lot of other wrestlers in AEW that are very, very happy with what CM Punk did. You see it with the fake news online. You see with the disrespect. Cutler, when we did Super Chats yesterday, when he was talking about, should the media be bringing up Malachi Black's mental health? No. Okay, you brought it up. You made a mistake. Now Malachi Black says, please don't bring it up. People still bring it up, even after that. People don't care. They just want attention, hits, views, patrons, subscriptions, blue check mark. You see all these people, hey, I got to write for Forbes. Hey, I wrote four articles for Sports Skeeter. You know, verify me, bitch. And now you see people with 1,900 followers, and most of them are cosplay for like Spider-Man and She-Hulk and all this stuff, and they get blue check marks because they can show that they wrote for, you know, five articles. It's a joke. It's a joke. At the end of the day, and I've always said this, and I don't name drop people unless they say to me, yeah, you can mention my name. But, you know, I've proved it to a few people online that I trust. You know, you get DMs from people, from Hall of Famers, wrestlers, and all different companies like, hey, brother, I tune into your stuff. Keep telling it like it is. I know, you know, that clickbait for those extra views are a little tempting, but keep doing what you're doing. People are noticing. And that's enough for me. You all tune in. You keep tuning in. You appreciate, you want the straight up. Sure, I have to act like a dick and like an idiot sometimes with a little extra humor to cover up for it. But no, never fall into that. Never, never. Thank you, Chris. All right. Chris, Teddy Long got hacked. What happened with Teddy Long is simple. Teddy, this is the truth. Teddy Long used to have, here's a problem that some people in wrestling have. Buff Bagwell is probably the biggest example of it recently. Some wrestlers have assistants, and especially people who have YouTube accounts. You have a few people that will handle multiple wrestlers. And sometimes you see it in their social media profiles, you know, like webmaster of this, and that. They're fine. And somebody who used to help Teddy Long with some of his social media stuff, apparently they had a falling out. And Teddy Long is like, fuck off, playa. And apparently this person either knew his password or might have had his email address associated with the social media account, and was able to reset it. And what happened was, you know, the person was a pussy. I want to make that clear. Because if you really wanted to be gangster with Teddy Long, I would have unfollowed everybody. All this person did was looked at all the people that had blue check marks, and he was block, 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 block. So the person that did it was absolutely pussy. Because if that, and look, I would never do that, but if that was me and I got a hold of Teddy Long's account and he did me dirty for some reason, I fucking would have deleted everything. I wouldn't have put, send me a PS5, give me gift cards, Amazon gift cards. No, I would have been like, fuck you, I'm deleting everybody's account. I'm unfollowing everybody. This way he comes back and does a video, look, player, he unfollowed everybody. You got to follow me back, player. I would have changed his screen name. His blue check mark would have went away. I would have changed it to from $5 player to $5 footlong. That's what I would have done. So whoever did that was a little bit afraid. They didn't go full blown. So no, Teddy Long did not block me. So you got to play the game. You know, I love when people over the years, they think they can outsmart me with stuff like that. You know, I've been doing this. I've been around since the 70s with this stuff, you know. I've seen everything. I mean, I'm no innocent person. You know, over the years, I've been an asshole as well. I definitely admit that. You know, I just hope that I've grown up a little bit and I don't throw shade against anybody anymore. But, you know, when people think they have one up on me, they don't realize that, you know, you can't. I used to use a phrase, you can't out bullshit a bullshitter. You know, remember my old name, Abul Shita. Remember? I wanted to use that for an indie wrestler. And the mass maniac, Eddie Guapo. Eddie Guapo, if anybody remembers Eddie Guapo. I'll tell you a quick story. I know some of you know this already. Eddie Guapo is a Latino guy that, you know, is an indie wrestler here in New York. You could Google him. And back in the mid-2000s, we wanted to tweak his character in the spirit of Muhammad Hassan. Eddie Guapo was going to become an Indian. And he was going to become like the indie version of Muhammad Hassan. We were trying to come up with names. And it's all documented. And in fact, next Sunday, I will play here the theme music that I got for him. It's custom. I can't be hit with copyrights. And it kind of sounds in the beginning like Muhammad Hassan. Hey, ah! So anyway, I came up with Abul, A-B-U-L, Abul Shita, S-H-E-T-T-A-H. Abul Shita. And he was going to come out there and go, Abul Shita, Abul Shita. I went on eBay and I bought him a real turban, a real carpet, and a real Indian robe and an outfit. Eddie Guapo's alive. He ain't dead. He's around the wrestling scene. Any of you out there, I invite you. Go on social media tonight. Say, Eddie Guapo. You know, Don Tony said that he bought you your whole Indian outfit back USA Pro, UXW, the indie circuit days. And he named you Abul Shita. He'll tell you it's true. I went on eBay. This is a real story. I went on eBay and bought it. I paid about $600. Real turban. Please, nobody try to throw the racist card against me. We were building a character, trying to make it look as realistic as possible. We're talking 2006, okay? There was no intentions on making fun of anybody Indian. But, I go on eBay. I buy the outfit. Before I buy it, I send it to Eddie. I said, Eddie, does this look good for you? Do you like it? He's like, oh my God, that's outrageous. Beautiful. I buy it. I pay it. The person says to me, what are you using this for? They probably looked at my name. And they said, wait a minute. This guy's name is Anthony de Blasi. He's in Howard Beach, Queens. John Gotti territory. My name is not Amal Bucapartita. You know, so like, what does this Italian guy want with this outfit? So I got a DM on eBay from the seller saying, what is this being used for? And I said, honestly, we have a character that we use for wrestling entertainment, and he is portraying an Indian wrestler. I swear in a stack of Bibles, I had to travel to this customer's house, and the customer, who was very religious, blessed the whole outfit. I went behind Queen Center Mall in Elmhurst, Queens, and was in this Indian person's apartment, and on the couch, laid out the robe, the carpet, the turban, and he's doing a whole religious thing, and I'm standing like this. I didn't know what to do. And he's like, you know, please do not disrespect. This is very... I said, no. I said, absolutely not. I said, nothing but good intentions. And I picked it up. I closed the door, hit the elevator, went back down to the street, was on, I think, Corona Avenue or something like that. As soon as I left, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, we landed it. There's pictures of it online still. But if you're going to Google what he looked like, do not look up Abul Shetta. That wasn't the name he used in USA Pro Wrestling and the indie circuit. I pitched Abul Shetta. Frank Goodman, the Masked Maniac, says, no, I don't like that name. He came up with Gandhi Ria Akbar. G-H-A-N-D-I, or maybe he used G-A-N-D-I. Gandhi, Rhea, R-H-E-A, like Rhea Ripley, Akbar, A-K-B-A-R. Now say that fast. Gonorrhea Akbar, gonorrhea. You imagine if this shit went down? Go on Google right now. Somebody, the first person that posts a link in the chat right now that links to an image of Eddie Guapo as Gandhi Rhea Akbar, at your choice, any shirt. Could be WWE, could be one of those new rabbit shirts they came out with, the white rabbit. You could choose AEW, whatever you want. The first person that posted a link to a Google image of Gandhi Rhea Akbar, Eddie Guapo, wearing that outfit, you'll get a free shirt tonight. And I will monitor it. That is a God-honest, true story. So, you know, I got stories going back to the 90s, everybody. Yes, you could post links there. Sure you can. Sure you can. Just put a space between the .com. All right. In the meantime and in between time, hip, hop, dibby, dibby. Matthew is asking, what are the three topics about AEW that I shake my head and strongly disagree with while listening to Jim Cornette bury it on his podcast? I don't think Jim Cornette buries AEW, as a lot of people call. I think he is very frustrated. I think he would love to see other things take place to balance it out a little bit. But if you're talking about things that frustrate him, FTR's usage completely. I mean, we predicted that the Acclaimed would win the titles and immediately feud with FTR. In fact, would not surprise me if FTR ends up with the belts after all this is said and done. The usage of FTR, the lack of the way the women's wrestling has been used. I'm not one of those where you have to have five matches of men and five matches of women, but you know, it's just been for three plus years, 4 years almost now, and you see what's going on. You know, I mean, you look at NWA with their, you know, their pay-per-view and Power and all this stuff, and you, come on. You know, there's so much talented women out there. It doesn't take four fucking years to get two women's matches a week on a Dynamite show. FTR, women's stuff. Some of the comedy stuff I think is a little bit much. And the fact that they have too many people. You know, you look at Ruby Soho, you look at Athena. You know, just because they cut promos 3 out of 4 weeks, it feels like they're on TV every week. What I do is I go on Google, and I don't remember the name of the website, but there's a website that has matches. It says the match listings of all the wrestlers. I can't remember the name of the website. But I go there and I click on a wrestler in AEW. And then I take away Elevation, and I take away from Dark, and then I look at only Rampage and Dynamite. And you remember Ruby Soho? She was the perfect example. Ruby Soho had, I think she had like 18 wins at the time, and only one was on Dynamite or Rampage. 17 of them were on Dark and Elevation. So, you know, you could play it at smoke and mirrors all you want. So those are a few things right off the bat. No, it's not. It's an archive stat website. You just type in Ruby Soho matches, and the site will prop right up. So, no, Ruby Soho is not fallen from grace, Eman. It's the way she's been utilized. It's the way she's been. Look at Ortiz. It's not like Ortiz has had a broken dick for the last 3 months. Sure, Santana is injured. But what have they done with Ortiz? Oh, a couple of intergender matches or whatever, mixed tag matches. You know, you look closely. I mean, they just can't maintain, you know, oh, look, Jake Hager wrestled Bryan Danielson a couple of weeks ago. And then 5 weeks later, he realizes he's done nothing. No, but wait, he was on Elevation 3 times. Cage match is one, but that's not the one I'm talking about, so. Rams fan is asking, do I like how some are reporting a possible buyout of CM Punk contract? And I reported it first weeks ago. Doesn't bother me. You know, look at the Vince McMahon Hall of Fame stuff. I wrote that July 25th, that some Hall of Famers in WWE are insisting that Vince McMahon be inducted in either the 2023 or 2024 Hall of Fame. In fact, some are lobbying for an appreciation day for Vince McMahon. It's on there. It's out there. July 25th, we talked about it. Last week, or the week before when I was in Florida, I was just checking out some of the news one day, and I see all this, oh, breaking news, so-and-so is broken, that WWE's looking to possibly. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. July 25th, we talked about that. So it doesn't bother me. As long as you all know, you know, the deal, that's all that matters to me. In the annals of history, you know, some people have found out what the sausage stuff is. You know, and now people are like, oh, you're a dick. Because one website was reporting all my stuff as news. And then he sent me a DM and he's like, you know, can I report this? And I'm like, I don't think it's a good idea. And he's like, why not? And then the person said, what's with this sausage thing? And then, you know, I had a little conversation with him and he had nothing but LOL emojis. But he's like, wow, that's fucked up. I said, yeah, it's fucked up. I said, because I used to report stuff all the time. Never got acknowledged. Remember Mr. Mystery and all the TNA Impact stuff that we broke? That no one else had. No one would ever report any of the stuff that we broke. All I did in July and August is show everyone how easy it is to be a reporter these days and get shit right. Do you realize every single thing I reported, the only thing that has not happened yet is Sasha and Naomi returning. And that will happen either by day one or Saudi Arabia. One or the other. That's it. It's either going to be by day one or Saudi Arabia. They're returning. Once that happens, oh, and Vince McMahon Hall of Fame. Those two things happen every, remember the TV-14 stuff? Remember every single site running with that? And I came up here and gave you 5 minutes as to why that was not true. Remember the MJF stuff? The plane stuff? It's not hard. It's not hard. Yeah, wow. I asked about, oh, no, did I say 140 likes? Let's get that shit up to 175 likes. I'd love to see 200 likes before we go off the air because we're already at 70 minutes. We have a show tomorrow, and I heard there's going to be another teaser for Bray Wyatt tomorrow. Now there might be a tic-tac-toe game that might feature hearts and clubs. Remember that little comment I said last week? Don't hold out, you know, don't immediately eliminate the possibility that Sasha Banks and Naomi might be part of this as well. They may not be, you know, what you think it is, but don't leave that possible. You might end up seeing two teasers happening at the same time. Wouldn't it be something if Wyndham, Sasha, and Naomi all came back at the same time? All right. I don't see any links showing up. Whenever you post a link in the chat, all you have to do is separate the period from the word com, and you usually could post a link. But that's how people usually do it. Charlie's saying, would they do some semi-TV 14 similar to the Attitude Era? You could do a tiny little bit of TV 14 as long as it's a very, very small part of the show. It does not change the PG rating. You know, that's why you could get away with an expletive or a little extra here and there. I saw so many people on Friday that people like, oh my God, Fireball, how is Fox allowing it? You know, the way it was not done kind of like a fight. It looked almost like a special effect lighting. It almost looked like fucking, you know, some special effects that Scarlett threw. They tweaked it so it wasn't too over the top. Yeah, Alexa Bliss, the Fireball of Randy Orton. I mean, Monday Night Raw, but that's different. That's different, Charlie, because USA Network is cable and the Fox is technically, you know, I don't know what they call it, network television. It's not technically cable, I guess you would call it. So just don't even put the .com. Just post everything after the .com. We know. If it's google.com, just post everything afterwards. I could click on it and I could see right away. Or, you know what you do? You post it in the comment section right after the show is over. I could see by the timestamp who posted it first and give you the credit for it. So in the comment section, post it. So you know as soon as this show goes off the air, just go right in the comment section and post it. Oh, by the way, I had someone ask me about giveaways, watch parties, and like random comments. We're going to do guess the predictions, guess the ratings contest again. But from now on, when I do giveaways on watch parties and for shows, I'm going to do it unannounced. I'm going to randomly throw it out there because, you know, look, I expect it. It's not a big deal, but some people will show up at places just to win a prize and don't put in the time. And the thing is, like I said, even with the watch parties, you know how much I've made from doing those watch parties the last month? A goose egg. Because if a certain number of people don't show up, you get nothing. Doesn't mean that I'm stopping them because I want it to be some place where everybody has fun. But if I announce I'm going to give away something and you see 20 extra, 30 extra people show up, so from now on, I'm going to just throw it out there randomly. You might see it during the show. The next day, I might just throw it out there and people don't even realize it. But, you know, contests going forward are going to be more random, out of nowhere. You know, I kind of like doing things out of nowhere. Somebody asked about Ken terminated by DQ. To be honest with you, he was blocked a little while back because he was getting very, very vulgar with a lot of people here. And, you know, look, I wasn't the one to do it, but I'll take responsibility because anybody that asks for someone to be blocked, I'm the one that makes the final decision. I went back and looked at some chat logs, and I was like, wow, that's really fucked up. I mean, even throwing a race card around, and it gets to the point where you got to draw the line. You know, when some people claim that, you know, the culture on the YouTube channel is so horrible and negative, no, that will not be tolerated here. So that's why he was removed. Will he be back one day? Absolutely. I honestly didn't even realize that he was doing that until I got about six or seven people within a week saying to me, DT, you got to address this. And I went back and watched it, and I was like, holy shit, I had no idea. So, yeah, that's why he's gone. Veer did show up in NXT. He teamed up with Sangha yesterday, I think it might have been. And I'll be honest with you. I like them as a tag team. I actually think that's a very good idea. But just keep in mind, we had Commander Aziz show up as the bodyguard for Cora Jade 2 months ago. That went nowhere. So right now, they're doing this, testing it out. I kind of like it. Sangha and Veer, I like it, them as a tag team. Let's see where it goes. Let's see where it goes. By the way, you know, I'm going to talk about this tomorrow also. I read reports that some people in NXT are on the clock, that there's a new doctrine. Did you see that doctrine report? Type in NXT doctrine and you'll see the all is breaking news the last 3 days. There's this doctrine that some wrestlers have only 6 months to show why they should remain, otherwise they're gone. Again, I'm going to bring it up tomorrow. Let me remind everyone, Triple H did 2 interviews in the last 9 months. In those interviews, he said that there's always going to be a turnover in NXT. And he said some people it may be 6 months, some people it may be 2 years. And unfortunately, if some people can't cut it, you know, then unfortunately we have to change and then we try other things. And then they could always have the opportunity to come back. This is not a new doctrine. Somebody was just looking to try to break a story that is old news. Nothing changed in NXT. Go seek out the 2 interviews Triple H did this year that specifically said it. I think one of them was to Stephen A. Smith. And he said it point blank that there's a turnover in NXT. That is not news. So what is news is this. All right. Let's see. Did I hear Sapphire's promo on Dark? Oh, Sapphire. That would be interesting. I think you're talking about Marina Shafir. Are you talking about, you know me? You don't know me. I was brought to America in 1993 by, I don't remember the name Shafir, and I don't remember the mother's name Shafir. Is that who you're talking about? You are the problem. You are the problem. You are the problem. Is that what you're talking about? I didn't say anything because I felt bad for her, honestly. Marina Shafir is, you know, the significant other of Roderick Strong. You know that I absolutely am a big fan of Roderick Strong. But Roderick Strong, over the last 6 months, has given me more humor on NXT. Aw, come on, you guys. Seriously, I've said this with the utmost sincerity. I'm legit a fan of Roderick Strong. But if I was walking late at night at 3 a.m. in Spanish Harlem, and he happened to be walking down a dark alley with that gray hoodie on, and he went up to me and said, give me all your money, I would have said, no, and I would have walked away. He is the most unintimidating person out there. He looks like a toothpick with skin on it. There's nothing about him that makes me scared, that intimidates me. And I look back to the Undisputed Era, and I'm saying to myself, what the fuck happened? I mean, seriously, if I was in a bank and he walked in with a machine gun and says, give me all your money, I'd fuck off, and I would just walk out of the bank. I even take a selfie next to him. Give me your fucking money. He is so unintimidating. Marina Shafir wrestles like Roderick Strong talks. So Marina Shafir getting an opportunity to talk, I thought her frustration reflected a lot of what has happened in the ring. And the reason why I laid off about Marina Shafir is because she has been getting eaten alive online about the wrestling. You look at the Thunder Rosa stuff, you look at there's a lot. And this has been building. And now they said, okay, Marina, how you've been feeling towards the IWC, that frustration that you're better than that, here's your chance to talk about it. And I think she got so hyped up that she just lost her train of thought. I'm trying to assume what she was trying to say is, Albany, you welcomed me in 1993. You know me. You think you know me. You don't 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 know nothing about me. That's what I thought she was trying to do. And she tried to be too cute about it, and I think she just lost her train of thought. Because it was, because the thing is, when you're pointing at someone, if we can't see who you're pointing to, we don't know who the fuck you're pointing to. When she's like, you know me, you don't know me. Huh? Is this like an Abbott Costello bad cartoon? Who's on first? Who's on third? I don't know why. Who's on third? I felt bad for her. I really felt bad for her. That's my honest, sincere take on Marina Shafir. I liked her anger, and I felt the frustration, but unfortunately, you blew it. What was that? What was this? What did Vinny say on Family Guy? Hey, honey, you blew it. Knock, knock, who's there? You blew it. You blew it. You blew it. Marina, you blew it. Come on, guys, you blew it. You blew it, damn it. She tried. She tried. She was confused. Yeah, she lost the train of thought. Listen, I'm going to say this to defend her. When you get angry, for real, you know, when you cut a promo and you get emotional, you really could get lost in the moment. If you go back to that wrestle crap stuff, when I dislocated my shoulder, when I was in the ring and they had that big pull apart and Tony Lowe threw me in the guardrail and I went over, when I cut that promo, you know, one of the things you try to do is you try to actually start feeling that what you're saying is real. And I legitimately got so fucking angry that, you know, you almost forget that the people that you're yelling at, you're actually, you know, trying to make magic with. And sometimes you get so caught up in the moment that you could just lose your train of thought. So that's why, if you notice, some people get so mad they cry. They get so emotional, they cry. Even when some people cut promos, you see they get so emotional and it almost looks like they're crying. It's not, it's just they really get into it. So will Liv Morgan destroy Ronda Extreme Rules? Would not be surprised if Charlotte Flair came out and just laid them both out and we end up with a no contest. I don't see Liv Morgan losing that championship at Extreme Rules. It's possible. I mean, I haven't done predictions yet, so I haven't really thought about it fully. But some crazy shit's going down at Extreme Rules. Expect quite a few Singapore cane shots. Am I going back on keto? As of right now, no. First of all, I can't taste nothing. You know, like some stuff I could taste, but I haven't gained nothing. It's incredible. I had fried wontons, fried rice, pigs in a blanket. I had, between the last 3 days, 6 slices of pizza, not all in one day, across 3 days. You know, I attempted to have spaghetti today. Gained nothing. Gained nothing. So, you know, will I go back? Yeah. Down the line, I will go back on keto. Right now, nah. Oh, it's raining. I forgot. We have, like, storms. You know, my parents are in Marco Island, Florida right now. There's a hurricane coming in that's supposed to hit Marco Island on Wednesday. They're supposed to head back to New York Wednesday morning. And I don't know what's going to happen. I'm trying to convince my parents to leave Florida Tuesday. But my dad is like, if the storm hits, we'll just wait it out. I'm like, fuck. You know, they survived Sandy. You know, and any of you that was on our Patreon, if you've ever seen that video, I actually shot footage 3 days after Superstorm Sandy. My parents' house, anybody ever saw it, it's the worst thing you'll ever see. Talk about a house just totally leveled and destroyed. It I can't, don't even want to think about it. It's crazy. All right. Yeah, no lasagna right now. I can't taste it. Can't taste it. It's not like things are numb. You know, like if I was sexually active the last couple of days, I mean, I'm sure I can kind of like do things, if you know what I mean. But, you know, it's, don't like, I don't know, it just sucks. The applesauce turned me down before. I was like, oh, I have some nice cinnamon applesauce half hour before I go live, put it in a dish. I'm like, can't taste it. I've been, Theraflu. You mix it with water, you drink it like tea, and it makes you feel better. I've been on Theraflu and Zicam the last 5 days. No viral drugs. I have it. Look, I have 4 vaccination shots. My body can't fucking do its job after 4 vaccination shots, then what the hell did I get the vaccine for in the first place? I mean, I've always said for 3 years, almost 3 years, that the vaccines were never supposed to prevent you from getting COVID. Nothing in this world is preventable. What it's supposed to do is just tell your body, hey, these fucking people in breaking your building, you got a bunch of bouncers there to help, you know, fight them off. You know, they may get a couple of bumps and bruises out of it, but your body will know how to fight the shit off. That's what the vaccine's always for. I don't know why they didn't make that message since day one. They confused the fuck out of all of you and us out there. Even Trump, back, they made everybody, a lot of people think, a majority of people think that the vaccine would, you take the vaccine, you can't get COVID. And they should have always just said, look, it's like the flu. You could still get the flu, but you get the vaccine and it tells your body, hey, you know, this fucking foreign thing gets in your body. Your body doesn't sit there and say, hey, come hang out. The water's warm. Hey, how you doing? What's your name? Hey. You like your peanuts with plain or with peanuts? You know, no, you want your body to be like, uh-oh, these people are not supposed to be here. You know, like people, all you see all those videos of people like showing up at all these stores, these gangs, and they steal tons of stuff. And you sit there like, what am I supposed to do? There's 45 people here trying to rob my place. What am I supposed to do? I'm just a man with 2 hands and 1 machine gun. Can't do nothing. But if you have the vaccine, you might have 35 people in your body like, yeah, motherfucker, come on. Go try to steal this coat. Let's see what happens. Some people might be able to walk out with a coat. I guarantee a lot of people would be walking out with their teeth in their hands. So I need to exercise. I can't even breathe right now. I went to get the mail Saturday. I went down 4 steps and I got, you know, I did so much walking in Disney. Guys, I swear to God, in 5 days at Disney World, because 2 days we relaxed by the pool, 5 days walking around Disney World, I walked more in those 5 days than I have walked in 20 years combined. Running the ropes, training indie wrestling in 2006, 7, and 8. That was the only other time in the last 15 years that I moved around that much. I never walked. I mean, she's got this iWatch. I didn't know where mine was. She came back. She's like, we walked 23,000 steps. I said, yeah, that's probably the most I've walked since 1999. Top 5 wrestling city fans. Thank you, Dinell. Get us back into the wrestling. New York, Philly, Chicago. Boston has been pretty good lately. And, you know, I'm only talking U.S. because, you know, there's a lot of places in the U.K. I don't know the areas, the buildings. Australia is nice. Mexico is great. Florida, no, you know what? Texas, I always thought was underappreciated. I always thought Texas was a little underappreciated. California, if you're in the right area, California, I mean, look what happened with Dominic on Raw. I mean, WWE, as I said last week, you know, a lot of people, they were like, oh, why is Dominic getting this kind of heat? Well, they're in the fucking West Coast, Rey Mysterio, 619, Booyaka. You know your audience. No, Cali could really put it out there too. So, Dallas, absolutely. Somebody got mad at me the other day and said, what about Memphis? I said, yeah, in the 70s and the 80s and maybe a early part of 90s, but Memphis is just not a big hotbed for wrestling anymore. It's not Memphis's fault. It just doesn't have as much as what they used to. So, do I know when Edge is coming back? Could come back as early as Monday. If not this Monday, probably the following Monday. I expect something to go down with him in Extreme Rules. I mean, very easy to do something in Extreme Rules. You would think he's got to this week or next week. You know, Extreme Rules is what, 2 weeks away? Yeah, he'll be back, I think, by next week. All right. Let's start bringing this home, everyone, because we're at 90 minutes. I know we did almost a two-hour show yesterday. Wednesday, I know we only did like 50 minutes. That was pretty good. I had a lot of positive feedback from a lot of you out there. They're like, you know what? I know you were sick and you ended it early, but, you know, doing a one-hour show here and there is not a bad thing, because I know a lot of you out there like to enjoy a lot of other shows out there, and, you know, I know you can't tune into every minute of every day. Have you all figured out what that QR code is? Should I give you all, whoever that has not scanned it, should I give you all a little advanced teaser of what I'm going to start plugging tomorrow? Do you want to see it? You all want to see it? I'll show you. It is a done deal. It is happening. 2 days before. No, it has nothing to do with White Rabbit. You might say it might have to do with two white jackasses. And yes, I'm putting myself in that boat as well. 2 days before WWE Crown Jewel, Thursday, November 3rd. We don't know what time we're going to start yet. I think it's going to probably be 8 p.m. So this way, if we end up going 3 hours, so be it. Whatever super chats come in that night, yes, we want to do this to put on a show to be remembered and also maybe make a couple of dollars out of it. It will be split right down the middle. This is happening. Forbidden Door 3 is a done deal. On Thursday, November 3rd, 2022, JD from New York will be joining yours truly, and we are going full fucking blown. We're going to go as long as we need to, Forbidden Door 3. This is, look, nothing against Jason Solomonst and Joe Cronin. I fucking loved both shows with them. But this is kind of like WrestleMania 3. This is the third Forbidden Door. It's kind of like WrestleMania 3 for me. We want to get 93,000 people to tune in live. So that is going down. We're going to have a blast. Forbidden Door 3. JD from New York, yours truly. Now, for those that are going to ask, what is the format? This is the format. We're going to talk about Crown Jewel. We will give our thoughts about Logan Paul getting the title shot. We will talk about whatever big news that transpires at that time. We'll talk a little bit of AEW. Also, for all of you out there, you will get the opportunity within the next week or two to submit a question. And we will keep that open for about 2 weeks. And then I, myself, and JD will select 5, 10, 20 questions apiece from the ones that we think you all would find the most interesting. And we are going to talk about it. I'm sure we will have some debates. Not everything that I and JD talk about, we agree upon. I know some of you out there, when I give my view on something and it's different from JD, some of you think, oh, he's taking a shot at JD. I don't tune in to a lot of other shows. It's not because I don't have time. It's not because I don't like JD or Jason and others. It's because when I give my thoughts, I don't want to be influenced by some of my friends' opinions, because I don't want to run into that where, fuck, I don't want to say this like that because so-and-so has a different view and, you know, it looks like that I'm calling them out. I hate that shit. I do tune in to their stuff once in a while. Sometimes I'm a lurker. I'm live. I don't say anything. Sometimes I'll go in a super chat, but I purposely avoid other people's thoughts because I want to give my honest opinions. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be some topics that we have some friendly debate upon, but it's going to be news, Crown Jewel, your Q&A, and whatever else. It's going to be good. If we get heated, we get heated. I have nothing but respect for that guy. That guy works his ass off. I don't care if you agree with his stuff. I don't care if you love him, hate him. That motherfucker works his ass off. That guy is committed. He's committed to everybody who tunes into his stuff. You know, you may not like his style. There's a lot of people that don't like my style. There's a lot of people that have this narrative about me that is false. Look, that's why there's so many options out there. Nobody's forced to it, but, you know, this is going to be something that I'm sure a lot of people never expected would happen, and it's happening. So, and guess what? I put up a thread on Twitter about 5 days ago asking all of you out there, who do you want to see the next Forbidden Door? JD from New York was the biggest choice out there. You know, there was some other names that are awesome, and I'm not going to mention who they are, but some of those names, they wouldn't come on. You know, there are a few others that absolutely would. But JD, you know, that's WrestleMania 3 territory. So, yeah, that's happening Thursday, November 3rd. All right. Dinell is asking, if Bray Wyatt comes back to WWE with a new Wyatt family faction, who would be in his faction? No, I don't think he's going to have a faction right away. Put Wyndham by himself. Put him by himself. Let all the focus be on him. As time goes by, just like Judgment Day, as time goes by, we may feel so-and-so is a perfect fit with Bray Wyatt. Who knows? Maybe we get Eric Redbeard return. We don't know. Right now, get him back in the company. Put all the focus on Wyndham. Go from there. I think Bray Wyatt by himself, as the leader for all of us, I think that would be the right way to go from the beginning. Charlie's asking, does President Biden's Saudi Arabia trip involve wrestling's involvement? No, I don't think so. You know, wrestling is just a form of entertainment with Saudi Arabia, just like concerts and sporting events. You know, that has nothing to do with it. Mighty Mighty is asking, my favorite Raw out of the USA episode. Out of the USA? You know what? You know what's the first one that comes to mind? Look, there's no way for me to go back 29 years and give you an answer like that. But the first Raw that comes to my mind, Shawn Michaels, when he first came back. Oh, no, when Bret Hart came back and had the... No, Shawn Michaels, when he was in Canada. And no, not when he screwed Bret. Was it when he screwed Bret Hart? Shawn Michaels got nuclear fucking heat in Canada. Was it right after the Montreal Screwjob? I can't remember. I don't know if it's when Bret... Maybe the chat room can help me on this one. Was it when Bret Hart came back or was coming back? Remember that night that Shawn Michaels was in Canada and got nuclear heat? If you all never saw that, you got to go out of your way. But I'm just thinking right now, it's got to be with the first Montreal Screwjob. Not the night that he won the championship. He came back to Canada. I think it was 2006. 2005 or 2006. There was a time he came back to Canada and got killed. I mean, that crowd, it was nuclear heat. I mean, it was just mind-boggling. It couldn't have been right after Survivor Series because that would have been by default. This was 05, 06, AEW fans is 2004. At least we know the time period. You go back, I'm sure you'll find it online. Somebody saying 2000. Right around that time frame, he went to Canada and got crazy, insane heat. It was just wild. It wasn't when they buried the hatchet. Because they buried the hatchet, some people in Canada were still pissed off. No, this was before it. You know what? I think this was right before that. Didn't he play Bret Hart's music? Shawn Michaels may have come out instead. Yeah, AEW fan is saying that's what it was. He played Bret Hart's music and he came out. Yes, that's the night. You got to check out that episode. That's the first episode that comes to mind, Mighty Mighty, when I think about Raw overseas. I also remember one that I didn't like when Raw was in Italy, when Santino Marella made his debut. When they had him go on the mic, what's your name? Santino Marella. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Nobody that's Italian in my neighborhood talks like that. Santino Marella. I hated it. I hated his debut. Santino Marella. No, Santino Marella, like a question mark. I hated that. Bash is asking, do I think the landing on the moon was fake? No. Why haven't they done it again? I don't know. Ask NASA. I'm sure they've done Q&As. Maybe it's just not worthwhile. You know, didn't they build like space stations on planets now and stuff like that? You know, look, in 1969, when my mom and my dad were going, doing the nasty, about to make me, you know, when they were like one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, I think the unedited footage said like, all right, now what the fuck do we do? I think they were walking on the moon in 1969 and then they were like, what else are we supposed to do? Go Mets. And they fucking left. That's how I have to make up for the bland being speaking facts. Why isn't Lex Luger in the Hall of Fame yet? Because WWE kind of wanted to reintroduce him to a younger audience. Like, you did the biography. You're going to see Luger featured more and more for, like, WrestleMania convention, stuff like that. They didn't want it to be out of nowhere. The Miss Elizabeth story is still very, very touchy. What happened to Luger and the abuse of drugs and everything is something that's very awkward. But now there's closure. Now all is forgiven. Now fans have a love for Lex Luger that they did not have for a very long time. Lex Luger will go in. I said this earlier this year. Within the next 3 years, tops, Lex Luger will be in the Hall of Fame. No more than 3 years. All right. Bit earlier, Billy Corgan tweets, says they'll put down both AEW and WWE. I don't know. Maybe somebody smashed a pumpkin into Billy's head. I don't know what Billy's talking about. Billy Corgan is not Tony Khan. He's not going to talk stupid like that. There's got to be something else attached to that. Harris B., what's going on? Cardina Chaos, thank you as always for holding the ship down. Come on, let's get to 200 likes before we crash this and go off the air. Shouldn't have to beg like this, but I appreciate it. Impact Wrestling status, they have a pay-per-view coming up. They did one on Friday. We covered the results yesterday. And they drew 80,000 viewers. They have a huge problem going on. They are trying to get a little extra attention with Mickie James doing the Ric Flair retirement storyline. It's unfortunately not getting the attention it should, and that's a shame. But Impact Wrestling, I don't know how you double that audience. They offered to pay me. If somebody DM'd me from Impact Wrestling and said, look, if you could help us get another 20, 30,000 viewers, I would probably say, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck you do. I mean, they're trying to do too crazy intergender stuff. They're doing Monsters Ball with women. They're doing retirement stuff. They bring New Japan stuff people in here. They're bringing this. I think they're just a hot mess. They lost their identity. That's the problem. They lost their identity, and I don't know how you get it back. If I got paid to really, like, put my focus on Impact Wrestling and say, your job is to get more eyes, then if I spent the time, I probably could come up with some suggestions, but I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do. If you have another promotion invade, you know, what is that going to do? Oh, my God, MLW is in the building. So it's control your narrative. Well, maybe a little too soon. All right. Will the Good Brothers eventually land back in WWE? Yeah, I think that happens. They're too good. They're a lot more charismatic than what WWE allowed them to be. They were very, very strapped with, you know, their whole shtick. I think the Good Brothers, you let them loose a little bit. Now, obviously it takes for the Tango because they need a good tag team to feud with, but the Good Brothers, yeah, I think they do end up in WWE down the line. Candice LeRae coming back, you know, look, new kid, motherhood. I mean, could we see a mixed tag here and there? Sure. Yeah, I could see her coming back, but I don't see it on any full-time schedule. You know, you got a newborn. The focus is on your child. You know, we've had others have babies. Look at Becky Lynch. And she was able to come back and, you know, kid was on the road with them. So, yeah, it's possible. Candice LeRae is very talented. No reason why she can't come back. And she's still in excellent shape. And I'm sure she still works out in the ring. So, yeah, that's possible. Yeah, you got to kind of feel bad for Impact a little bit because they got a really decent roster. There should be more eyes. And the New Japan stuff just blows me away. You know, when you see some of those names that are there and people claim, oh, they're the biggest Jay White fan, they're the biggest this person, and then you never see those people. You know, my favorite wrestler of all time is Terry Funk. And believe me when I tell you, if Terry Funk was in his prime and he was, let's say, in NWA at the time, and somebody said to me, you know, DT, you know, Terry Funk's going to be on this promotion, you know, Saturday night at 3 a.m., I would have at minimum set my VCR to see what the fuck he was going to do. When we had Ted DiBiase's promotion come around, was it XWF and stuff like that? You know, why do people not want to see their Uber favorites working other places? Okay. All right. Good Brothers being too good. I didn't say that they were too good. I said that they were a lot more charismatic, and you have to, in WWE, you have to be a character. You have to have a connection with the fans. You can't just go straight up, oh my God, he's an incredible wrestler. That only gets you so far. You have to be so out of the ordinary. You know, that's why way back when I said, you know, remember my infamous prediction? They're going to do comedy with FTR when they were the Revival. I said, they're going to do comedy with them. And I remember debating with my co-host at the time, what are you, nuts? The Revival? What are they going to do comedy for? They're going to do comedy. Anybody remember the Grizzled Young Veterans? Remember when I said they're going to do comedy with them? And they were doing those street skits with the Grizzled Young Veterans? You have to have a connection with the fans. You can't just be these great technical wrestlers. Only gets you so far. All right, we're going to wrap this up in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I want to get out of here. I got to put this online, take my nighttime medicine, get ready for tomorrow. Got to figure out what we're going to talk about tomorrow besides Raw. But we'll have a banger. We will definitely have a banger. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's Raw. I heard Sami Zayn is going to be wrestling AJ Styles. I think that's AJ Styles, I think, wrestled Roman Reigns yesterday on a house show. But I think AJ Styles and Sami Zayn are going at it tomorrow. So that's something to look forward to. Do I see Becky Lynch in the Royal Rumble next year? If her arm is recovered, which could happen, you know, keep in mind, we're only a little more than 3 months away. She may not be back in time. Could she end up in an elimination chamber if they do? I don't remember if they do that before, right before Mania anymore. But if her arm is healed, yeah, she could be in it, sure. So, Rob is asking me, how's married life so far? Like I said earlier, I got married 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I went on my honeymoon. And a week ago at this time, I'm back in New York, sick, and got COVID. We got COVID in Disney. So she's not here. She's home at her parents' house. We had to quarantine. And the thing is that I'm bird sitting. And every time I go tend to the bird, I got to wear a mask. And yeah, it was just too crazy. So, you know, we're married and here we are, which is kind of funny because, not to get too personal, you know, I met my wife 10 years ago in October. That's when we started dating. We started dating 2 weeks before Superstorm Sandy. So 2 weeks into our relationship, Superstorm Sandy hit, and my mom had to stay with me for 3 months. So 2 weeks into our relationship, we had turmoil. 2 weeks into our marriage, we both got COVID. It's wild the way things happen sometimes. All right. Steven Escalante. You didn't have to send a 5-spot for me to do this for you, my friend, but you know, I appreciate it. Yes, our thoughts are with you. He had to put his dog down 17 years, put her down a week ago. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I actually last night had a dream and my dog was in it and I wake up extremely, extremely sad. The worst, hardest thing that I ever had to deal with in my life, putting my dog down. I will tell you, for years, I was very guilty, thinking that maybe, you know, if I didn't do that, maybe my dog would have gotten better. I have come to the closure that I was just being selfish. My dog became a diabetic. Any of you that go back with me, remember every day for 5.5 years, I woke up at 4 o'clock every morning to feed my dog and give him insulin because my dog would only eat between 3 and 4 p.m. and 3 and 4 a.m. And for 5.5 years, on Monday nights especially, I would do a show, be done by 1:30, pass out by 2:30, wake up an hour later to feed my dog, try to go back to sleep. Did that for 5.5 years. And I realized that my dog was in too much pain and keeping him around was selfish. You know, I'll see him again one day. And it's still very hard for me to talk about it. But, you know, this is why I don't have another dog. You know, my bird, God bless him, my bird has been around since 1994. I mean, sure, a lot of you have seen the picture of me and my bird from 1994. I have a picture of me and my bird. I look like Dexter Loomis, if you've all seen that photo. I don't have it handy right now. But I look. You just go on my Twitter and just type in the search box, type in Dexter Lumis, and the picture will come up. He's still around. But, you know, at his age right now, you know, I have kind of prepared myself that a year from now, he may not be here anymore. And when you get a pet, especially a dog or a cat, you have to understand that their lifespan is short. Some dogs, it's 10, 12 years. Some dogs, it's 15 to 20 years. So, you know, you have to be prepared that one day we're all going to face this. We're going to face it with our loved ones. We're going to face it with our friends, relatives. It's something that you have to do. You know, for some people, when they have to put down a pet, they will go out and get another pet and give their love to another animal, give them a good home. Me, I just couldn't go through it again. That's just me. My wife has three Yorkies. So when she officially moves in here, I'm going to have at least two Yorkies here. So I'm going to have dogs here all the time. You know, it's going to be kind of like awkward for me because I put all my love on my dog and that's it. I'm not nasty to other dogs, but my dog, after that, I was like, that's it. My heart is closed. But my point is, the best thing you could do is look back and realize you gave that dog a great life for most of those 17 years, if not all of them. And, you know, you go back and you think about that, and you did good. You did good. That's best thing that I could say. I know for all the years that my dog was here, even though he had a very, very rough final 6 years, you know, I did everything that I could to make it as easy as it possibly could for him. And, you know, it hurts. It hurts. But, you know, I also realize now my dog right now would be, what, 23? You know what I mean? So I would have had to have dealt with this anyway. But that goes out to all of you out there. You have a pet. You know, you got to understand that this day comes. Just give your pet a good life. This way, when that day comes, you know that that dog, cat, whatever type of animal it is, fish, you could turn around and say, you know what? That son of a bitch wouldn't have had a better life anywhere else. Give that animal the best life it can give you. And, you know, you could look back and know you did good. So, is it weird saying wife? Yes, it is. I still say fiance. I'm in the habit of it. But it's still weird. You know, like, I didn't think I would ever get married again. You know, a lot of you know. You know, I got married in 99 and I got it annulled a couple of months later. I ended up marrying a psycho. It's the truth. And I got that shit annulled. Paid a lot of money to the church, but I got that shit annulled. So I will show more pictures, more video of what went down soon. It's just right now I got to get over this COVID stuff. So anyway, we're hitting the 2 hour mark. I want to get out of here. Hit that thumbs up. Let me see 200 likes within the next 60 seconds. That would make me feel good. And if you have a comment, post it. And as soon as this disconnects, post the Google link for Gandhi Ria Akbar. I will acknowledge you in the comment section. First person that does it gets a shirt. And join me tomorrow night after Raw, 11.05 p.m. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.